Welcome back to another episode of Briefs, Our Blue Bahamas podcast, where we talk about everything oceans blue and in our marine environment. Today, we are joined by our lovely representative from the Our Islands, Our Future Coalition, Taylor Ferguson. It's lovely to have you, Taylor.
It's lovely to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And can you just introduce yourself and describe your role within the Our Islands, Our Future organization?
Okay, so my name is Taylor Ferguson. I am the Grants and Communications Coordinator with Waterkeepers Bahamas. And Waterkeepers Bahamas is part of the Our Islands, Our Future Coalition. So I am primarily responsible for all of the communications for the campaign, as well as strategy and a whole lot of other things, but primarily communications and strategy.
Awesome. And so for some of our listeners at home who may not be familiar with what the Our Islands, Our Future Coalition is, what is the primary mission?
The primary mission of the coalition is to advocate for a permanent ban on oil drilling in the Bahamas.
All right, and throughout the Bahamas, you guys are a coalition, so you work across the archipelago with different partners. What does this community look like? Is it NGOs, local NGOs, businesses, things like that?
Yes, so in the beginning, and the coalition was formed in 2020, and the primary members of the coalition are Waterkeepers Bahamas, BREEF, Bahamas Reef, Educational, Bahamas Reef Environment Educational Foundation, as well as Waterkeeper Alliance. The Waterkeeper Alliance is the parent organization of Waterkeepers Bahamas. So there are waterkeepers all over the world. And so those are the three key partners. But we also have other NGOs that have given support to the coalition and its mission over the years. And they comprise of not just NGOs, but businesses that would be affected by oil drilling in the Bahamas. So people who are in the tourism industry, fisheries, lodges, and others have thrown their support behind the campaign over the years.
I love that we really have our community involved. And to that point, I'd love to ask what really sparked this movement towards really starting the conversation on banning oil drilling?
So the coalition was formed out of a need to advocate on behalf of the Bahamian people when there was a company conducting oil exploration in our waters. And fortunately, they were not successful in their exploration efforts, and that's what Our Islands, Our Future was born out of, the need to either stop this drill or make sure another one never happened again.
And as a result of that initial push, did you guys see success in that initiative?
Yes, I feel like the coalition was very successful. Number one, in galvanizing support for the call for a permanent ban, to ask the government to put restrictions in place. And I also feel like the campaign was very successful legally in challenging this drill in court and really fighting against what it would mean and the risks to our beautiful Bahamas. And so the campaign was very successful and still is to date. And again, the main goal was to have people see what this would mean for our country and have the powers that be understand that there are people that are willing to take risks and there are people that are willing to advocate for what is best for our country, and not just advocate for financial gain or what would be seen to be financial gain from an exploration of that sort.
And I love that you mentioned really putting, like highlighting that these are issues that need to be fought for to really protect our environment. Because
Right.
a lot of Bahamians aren't really educated on what a future of the Bahamas going into oil drilling could really look like. It
Right.
might bring some economic gain short term, but there are risks that are down the line. So, what are some of the real primary environmental and economic risks we might see if drilling were permitted in Bahamian waters?
Oh, I mean, by far, the most prevalent would be a spill. We rely so heavily on our fisheries. We rely so heavily on tourism. Everything that we do is about our waters. And a disastrous spill would be just what it says, disastrous for so many people, so many people's livelihoods. Not just people think about an oil spill and they think about, oh, it's dirty, it's nasty, it has to be cleaned up. Think about the contaminated species. I mean, think about the fish that we consume. Think about the people who dive for a living. Think about the impact it has on every single facet of our lives, and it would be destroyed. Fortunately, well, unfortunately, a lot of people aren't educated, and fortunately, there are people who are willing to take the time to have everyone understand what this would mean. And so, over the course of our campaign, we've realized that people understand that you have to balance the health of your economy with the wealth of your economy. And I think, initially they're like, oh, if we find oil in our waters, we're going to be rich, And just like in so many other countries around the world, that's not the case. The average person doesn't benefit from someone striking oil, and that would be the case for the Bahamas as well. So we just wanted to make sure that people understood the risks and understood that this is not good in any way, shape, or form for our country. So if I had to say our most significant achievement, it was to help ensure that the offshore oil exploration licenses were not renewed, preventing immediate offshore drilling expansion, as well as protecting Bahamian waters, our reefs, our fisheries, and overall our communities. So we maintain that public and political pressure, ensuring that oil drilling remained a high risk issue. And so that created a condition where, decision makers understood that supporting offshore drilling would face strong national resistance.
Yes, definitely. And I love that you brought it back to our really circular economy because looking back at it, our tourism industry is supported by our oceans, which supports our economy and the livelihoods of a lot of our fishermen who rely on the oceans and our natural resources. So, really bringing that to light to people, puts it in perspective, you know? And public polling indicates that even 86% of Bahamians would support a legislation action to prevent fossil fuel use or oil drilling in the Bahamas, with even 74% of persons favoring a transition to renewable energy. And we've seen that with the increase in electric cars and solar panels, as well as more electric systems within everyday households. And so, do we think that moving into the future, that renewable energies and a reduction in fossil fuels is what the future of our Bahamian energy sector could really look like?
Yes, most definitely. I feel like globally, whenever there's a shift, we can't help but to be affected. And I fortunately, that will be the case as well with renewables. So you see now that people are investing in solar for their households, which is amazing. Yes, it is an investment. It's not cheap. It's costly. Some people honestly cannot afford it, and some people don't see the value of spending that much money and waiting for years to see the return on that investment. But I feel like the more we deal with high energy costs, the more we deal with the fluctuations in the oil markets, the more we deal with an unstable earth. I mean, we're now dealing with wars, and the more people realize that, hey, this oil industry, this fossil fuel industry is not where we need to be. We need to be cleaner. We need to be greener. And it needs to be more affordable. Energy needs to be more affordable. And so the more people start thinking that way, the more we are going to naturally transition. So it starts with solar, then we go to wind, and then we go to hydro. And the possibilities are endless. However, we have to have people in spaces who are willing to take chances and willing to move away from the way it's always been done. And unfortunately, a lot of things are political. A lot of things, the people that are connected to these industries, you will always have situations where we're not going to move all the way away from fossil fuels, because then that's going to mess up, our relationships with these people, and it's going to mess up our political futures. And so many things are tied to the fossil fuel industry that people just don't realize. And so even if we do it slowly, we have to do it. We have to move away.
And even now, we've seen an increase in capacity to purchase these renewable products, with increases in electric vehicle vendors, not just across New Providence, but being available to be shipped across the Family Islands, as well as more persons who are equipped and trained to work on renewable energy sources such as solar panels and electric cars. So you have that
It's
specialization.
happening.
And it's not happening in slow motion. I've seen the rollout. We've seen the increase in electric vehicles. And that's not only to say that it's a trend or a hype, but people are really buying into the fact that we need to reduce the amount of fossil fuels that we use. And so the Bahamas has recently joined the Fossil Fuel Non-Proliferation Treaty and is currently participating in the Fossil-Free Wider Caribbean Initiative. Why is it important that the Bahamas is a part of initiatives like this across an international scale and making that commitment?
It's super important. And, having attended some of these regional and international conferences, it's always a pleasure to see how happy people are to see the Bahamas involved. And it never gets old. And our participation in these offshore working groups and these coalition calls and these collaborations, and it's something that isn't, it's not necessarily new. But like everything else, with the advancement of social media and everyone's online, I think we know more now that we did than we did before. People would represent us at these conferences and we would never hear about it. But now we get to see our people at the table and our people fighting for these causes. And so it's crucial for the Bahamas to be at the table, because we should be setting the standard. Because we are one of those countries that have the most to lose. We're a small island developing state, and we are at a higher risk for the effects of global warming than a lot of other places. And so it's very important for us to be involved with these treaties. But more important than us signing on or saying we support it is we have to be seen to be doing what these frameworks are calling for. We can't just continue to sign on to things and then forget about it. We have to put these things in place. We have to put these policies in place. And in some cases, we have to change our legislation so that we can come into line with what these agreements are calling for. I mean, sometimes it just baffles me because I will see that the Bahamas has signed on to this. But then years later, you go and find out what has changed. Nothing has changed. And the world is watching. We can no longer get away with that.
Yes, I definitely agree. Accountability is definitely most important when we want to see change and bring about change within our own communities. So I want to go back to your personal experience working in communications with our islands, our future. Oftentimes, thinking about the renewable energy market, persons are often kind of frightened. It might seem a little daunting because the prices are so high, you're not sure what exactly you might need. And there's a lot of misconceptions out there regarding the prices, the accessibility. So, what is the most common misconception you've come across in your experience?
I think the most common misconception is that it's only for a certain group of people. And really and truly, you can't really blame people for having that perception because sometimes it is out of reach for the average person. You do have to come up with quite a bit of money in order to save money in the end. And if you don't have that money to invest, then you will have to continue to pay your high energy bill because that's something that's happening monthly. And that's something that can wait on your next paycheck, for example. Everybody doesn't have the ability to go and get a solar system. And everybody doesn't have the ability to trade in their gas guzzler for an electric car. And so it does feel out of reach for a lot of people. And so their concern about that is real. But I would say that you don't have to be able to buy an electric car or get solar panels. There are things that you can do in your everyday life to reduce your carbon footprint. And so sometimes we tell people, listen, you can just, even at offices, just turn off the lights. I mean, let's not run the air conditioner 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There are things we can do now. There are things that if you can't afford a solar system or electric car, there are things we can carpool. We can ride bicycles.
Yep, going back
And
to
these
the
are things that are going on in, I mean, when you travel to other parts of the Caribbean, especially in the Eastern Caribbean, I mean, the way of life is so different. And I always attribute that to the fact that we're so close to the United States, that we have taken on a lot of Western ways. And they ride bicycles, they carpool, they walk, but that's just not who we are as a nation yet. But I see it getting there because you tend to change your lifestyle based on economics, right? So you can no longer afford gas. What do? We get a bicycle. That's when we get the bicycle. But what if we get the bicycle now? What if we start conserving energy now before it's too late? So those are the kinds of things that I think are important.
Yeah, definitely. Really rethinking how we've tailored our lives and how we can avoid these fossil fuels. Because, like I was saying, you said ride a bike. I say really going back to our basics, because there's a lot of things you can do without using electricity, daily activities that you can complete and reduce the amount of electricity that you would use in comparison to on a normal basis. And so I think it just goes back to mindfulness, and being able to actualize yourself, making these changes and then applying them into your life. And so, really is about rethinking the framework of your life that you've put in and not really limiting yourself based on what you see other persons being able to accomplish within that sphere. So, the Our Islands, Our Future Coalition has proposed a ban on oil drilling. They have a petition that you can sign. Where can they find this petition?
Okay, so you can find the petition, which has almost 100,000 signatures right now.
Wow.
So on the Our Islands, Our Future website, which is ourislandsourfuture.org, there is a link for you to support our efforts and sign the petition. And you can add your signature to the thousands and thousands and thousands of people who have already demanded protection of Bahamian waters from oil drilling. And it's such an important thing to do. I mean, you may think your signature doesn't matter, but when you put all those signatures together and it's almost 100,000, it matters. It matters. And those aren't just signatures from the Bahamas. These are people all over the world who want to protect our waters. And so we should be the first to sign on to protect our own waters. And so we invite everyone to sign the petition and just join us in our efforts. However small you may think your impact is, it matters.
And this ban exactly, how will this ban on oil drilling really protect Bahamians more than any other existing legislation that we might already have in place?
Right. So the reason why we want a ban is we don't want another firm to come in and get licenses. And a ban will mean that we can't issue licenses, period, for exploration. And so I don't want to jump ahead, but as part of our pathway document that we presented to the government a few years back, a pathway to an oil drilling ban in the Bahamas. So the pathway is legislation because it's the surest and most defensible path to implementing a ban is legislation. You know, so we have the Petroleum Act of 2016, but it has to be amended, right? And just, you know, like Parliament has exercised its authority to allow for and to regulate offshore drilling, Parliament is also free to revoke, you know, that legislative grant of authority. So that would leave no doubt about the intent that the government of the Bahamas has, right? And it's also the most durable option. So to overturn it in the future, it would require a new action by Parliament. So that's why, you know, we want legislation for the ban. We don't just want the government to say, oh, we're not going to give any more leases because another government can come in and say, well, we didn't say that. That's not what we want. That's what the last administration wanted. But we don't want it to be a policy because a policy can change. We want it to be the law. We want legislation. And so that is why we feel like this is affected.
And could you elaborate on some of the components of this pathway framework?
Sure. So I spoke about the legislation, right? And another part of it is the policy level ban. So the legislative ban is by far, that's the surest way. But there's also a policy level ban, which means that the minister, you know, can have control over this. So, just like I said, the approach of simply announcing that we're stopping new licenses, right? That's been done in several countries, including New Zealand. But the Bahamian framework that governs petroleum exploration now establishes no right to a license or a lease. So the Prime Minister can announce a ban or a moratorium and indicate that no more licenses or leases can be granted. But nor would granting further leases or licenses be consistent with the government's climate commitments. So, like I said before, we're making these commitments, but are we really following them, right? So that's the other part of that. And then we talk about the pros and cons. So at the legislation level, further legislative action would be needed to reverse it. And we're not that vulnerable to a legal challenge with legislation. At the policy level, there's vulnerability because it can be challenged legally because of the Petroleum Act. And then if there's no legislation or regulatory time delay, someone can also challenge that. So these are the options that we presented because we may not get a full ban, but we might get a moratorium. And something is better than nothing, is how we think about it. We want a full ban, but if we can even get a moratorium, which buys us some time to convince people that we really do need this permanent ban, it'll give us some breathing room that we don't have to worry that, oh, is it going to be next year that someone's going to get a license? Is it going to be the year after?
All right. So throughout these initiatives, have you been able to mobilize persons, not just in the community, but youth and civil organizations to really buy in, I guess, to the cause? And have you seen any conflicting views in regards to your view on a ban on oil drilling?
So I'm glad you brought up young people because both Brief and Waterkeepers Bahamas have very strong youth initiatives. So with Waterkeepers, we are youth environmental ambassadors and our Waterkeepers cadets. We try to include them as much as possible in what we're doing in the campaign, trying to educate them more than anything. And we even conducted in Nassau with Brief a we had the students do their own polling, and the results were interesting because young people want to have a say, but it's also important for us to listen to what they're saying. They want explanations on, hey, why don't we want this opportunity in our country for oil and to be wealthy, and but it's up to us to educate them on the pros and cons of this and the cons and how the cons are detrimental to their future. And so we're trying to include the young people, and I find that with the public in general, when we start talking about the risks to their livelihoods and to the future of our country and our tourism industry, everyone understands. But understanding is not advocating. So, are you willing to go to your member of parliament and ask them what their views are on this? We have to take this to the next level when we're talking about advocacy. So, we want people to support our campaign, but we also want people to ask the hard questions. We want you to be able to go to your representatives and say, hey, I don't want this for our country. Why can't we have a ban? And if enough people do that and say that, where would we be?
Because I frankly, a ban on oil drilling isn't an easy conversation, and it shouldn't be. It should be well, thoroughly researched, talked about, engaged with stakeholders, young persons, government offices, sorry, and really connect the entire Bahamas as a whole. And so it's important that you mentioned young people because we are the persons who are going to have to experience this future if oil drilling were to continue in the Bahamas and experience the detrimental effects to our environment as well as our economy and our tourism industry. And so all of these are things that are up in the air right now. But
Absolutely.
as we're closing out, What are some of the next priorities for our islands, our future, and how can viewers get in touch if they want to reach out or help to spread the word as well?
Okay, I'll start with what we're going to do or what we want to do moving forward. So we've already done a lot of work. And, unfortunately, we're not done until we have a band. And so we want to get more attention, I would say. Our long-term goal is by 2029, we want to have policy reform, at least banning oil exploration and drilling and future licenses. And we want to move from temporary protection through expired licenses to permanent protection through law. And so we're working with legal experts and trying to figure out a way that we can approach government and work along with government to really flesh this out. And we also want to work on our public campaigns more, and we want to work with young people more, and we want to partner more with other international groups and organizations that want the same thing. And as long as the threat remains, we're going to be working. And, over the next however many years it takes, hopefully we are able to sustain the campaign. But yeah, we have a lot of exciting plans. And if you want to be involved or support us, just ourislandsourfuture.org. You can also email us at ourislandsourfuture@gmail.com. And, we are excited for what's in store. We're not giving up. We've made a lot of inroads and we plan to continue.
All right, thank you. I'm excited. This is very inspirational, and it's amazing to do it to really see a Bahamian organization advocating to protect our environment and have a permanent ban on oil drilling in the Bahamas. So for our listeners out there, you can get in touch with Our Islands, Our Future, like Taylor said, at ourislandsourfuture.com and
Dot
oh, sorry, .org. My bad.
No problem.
And reach out in any way you can. Feel free to provide your advocacy assistance, or even if you just like to volunteer, you can reach out. So thank you so much again, Taylor, for taking the time to speak with me today. And I hope you have a great rest of your day. Thank you so much for listening. This has been another episode of Our Blue Bahamas.